Good morning. As always, I want to greet everyone in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for he is our reason for being here, and he calls each of us here this morning to express our faith, to celebrate our faith, and to offer our thanksgiving to God for God's goodness to each and every one of us. Today, as you can tell, is a very special day. It is All Saints Sunday, and we want to extend an extra warm welcome to the families who are gathering here among us today to remember and to honor their loved ones who have passed away since we last had All Saints Sunday. So as always, we are grateful for your presence among us today, and I pray that we will all experience God's presence, God's spirit, God's comfort, and God's strength and grace. If you're visiting us today, please know that you're our guest, and we welcome you as well. We're thankful for your presence. You've chosen to make this your place of worship today, and so we thank you for that. There's a green slip of paper in your bulletins that we'd love for you to fill out, if you would, and drop it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. Just a little bit of information that helps us to welcome you a little bit better. Just a quick announcement about tomorrow morning. The United Methodist women will gather here in this sanctuary at 10:30 in the morning, and everyone is invited to bring some kind of canned good. Some of you have already done that, but that's for a local mission project. So just a quick reminder about that gathering here tomorrow at 10:30. Also, just a word about the altar flowers today that adorn our altar. The flowers on the altar are given in loving memory of Michael Scoggin by Jan and Lester Richards. We're grateful for those flowers that bless us today. And let us continue to worship. Thank you.
Let us pray. Timeless God, we thank you for all those before us who have kept the faith to the end. We thank you for brave souls of deathless fame, and also for those whose names are remembered only by you. Give us wisdom to understand your will, and courage to live as your people in this day, through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. Invite our children forward now for our children's sermon. We're actually going to be over here today. I'm going to get something real quick. Will you sit down for me? Here, why don't you come sit? Use my arm, please. So Lily brought in something special today. Can anybody tell me what Lily brought in this morning?
A microphone.
Lily did not bring the microphone in. Rosalie, did you see what Lily brought in? No? Okay. If you look over in this direction, there is a banner. Oh, that's right, it has bells on it. A banner with bells. Now today is a special day called All Saints Sunday, and we remember the saints who have gone before us. All those bells are for people. Different people have put bells on there for loved ones in their life that they want to remember, that help them know God and help them love God. So I put some bells on there earlier, and I'm going to show you a picture of a couple people that I put bells on for. There, those are my grandparents, and they helped me know and love God. And so I put bells on there, and they're bells for other people that other people loved and helped them know God. And so today, what I want us to do is I want you to think about, now, we call those saints. And did you know that saints can be living now? They're people that can teach us to love God and that show us how to love God, even in this sanctuary here today and in our lives. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about one of those people. When you have one of those people in your mind, raise your hand for me. Think of somebody who helps you know about God and love God? No? Maybe your parents or your grandparents or somebody here in church? Got somebody in your head now? Miss Scotty? Yeah. Okay, why don't you ring this bell? Because you pick that up, Rosalie. Think of somebody who teaches you and about God. Can you ring it for them? That's right. So today we remember those people who we loved. Here, do you want to ring it for her? There you go. We remember those people who we loved and who have taught us about God, but there are also people here that teach us about God, and we can remember them and thank them too and join in their work. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the saints that have gone before us.
For the saints that have gone
help us.
Help us.
Join in their work.
Join in their work.
Of loving you.
Of loving you.
And loving others.
Of loving others.
Amen.
As always, we count prayer to be an important part of what we do on Sunday mornings together. We pray individually throughout the week, but we're called to pray corporately as well. And as always, you're invited to remember those whose names are printed under the heading of the prayer list, which this today is actually found on the back of your bulletin, under where it says Welcome Visitors, and then it says Prayers. You are invited to remember those whose names have been listed there, and perhaps there are others as well that people we want to remember and bring before God in prayer. Let us pray. Oh God, on this All Saints Sunday, we recognize that we are indeed surrounded by the communion of the saints, that there is a thin partition which separates us from that great throng who worship you day and night in your heavenly kingdom. We're grateful, O God, for the comfort which this day brings to us, to know that through your love, we are in your presence every day in this life and in the next. Oh God, today on All Saints Sunday, we stand in a very liminal place where we remember those who have indeed gone before us, those who have left us within the past year, but we also remember those who have left us in times past. We recognize that Central United Methodist Church is a strong church today because of those who have gone before us. We recognize those whose shoulders we stand upon as we continue to strive to be faithful to your call to be witnesses of the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the Spartanburg community. I pray, O God, that as we remember the saints and those who have gone before us, that we will also take our place in that role, that heavenly role, and that we will give of ourselves, perhaps even to the point of sacrifice, just as they did, that we might continue to be faithful to you. Oh God, we are grateful for the families who are gathered in this space at this time. We pray for your comfort. We pray for consolation. Oh God, we pray for an experience and an outpouring of your Holy Spirit to know that we are undergirded by your love, your power, and your might, and your great strength. Help us to be mindful that we do not grieve alone, but that we grieve with others. For death is something which comes to us all sooner or later. Fill us with compassion, that we may suffer with those who suffer with us. God, we remember those whose names are on our prayer list and beyond, those whose names rest heavy on our hearts and minds at this time. Bless each and every one. For those seeking healing, we pray for your healing touch, physically, mentally, spiritually, and relationally, and in every other way. For those seeking wisdom and direction, who might be standing at a crossroads in life, we pray that you will grant them direction and also the faith and the grace to know that whatever choices we make in life, you are still with us. You still love us and guide us, and that somehow you can always get us back onto the right path. Give us that kind of confidence as we live life each and every day. Oh God, those who do mourn and grieve, comfort and encourage, and strengthen. All this we ask in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our rock and our shelter and our refuge in the storms of life, as we remember the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I invite our ushers to come forward that we may receive our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our scripture lesson for today comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Today, on this All Saints Sunday, we recognize and acknowledge two realities. The first reality is the reality of loss. In many ways, that's what brings at least some of us here today. For the rest of us, we have gathered here today to be around those who have lost loved ones. That's someone special over the past year since our last All Saints Sunday celebration. And we remember those whose lives once were filled with a presence that has now become an absence. You know, the Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, he writes, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" And I've often thought that if death does indeed have a sting, that it's the sting of separation. The separation is the sting, being separated from the one we loved and spent so much time with. That is the pain we recognize today. I'm reminded of the story of Jesus and Mary and Martha and Lazarus in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. You know that story. Jesus gets word that Lazarus is very ill, and for whatever reason, he delays in coming, and by the time he gets there, Lazarus has passed away for 3 days. And Jesus shows up on the scene, and everyone is weeping and crying, and Jesus himself begins to cry. He begins to weep. And we wonder maybe why Jesus is weeping, because we assume he knows what he's about to do in raising Lazarus from the dead. But I think it goes much deeper than that. I think Jesus is weeping for everyone who passes through the shadow of death. For even when he raises Lazarus, Lazarus will one day face death again. And I think Jesus is weeping for the plight that we all go through in losing loved ones. Death is such a painful reality and a part of life, and Jesus is weeping with us for what we are having to endure in that pain. Jesus wasn't just grieving for those at the moment, but he was grieving for all of us. You know, often when we grieve, we feel alone in our grief. We feel like no one else is grieving but us. And maybe to some extent, that is often the case. We have the funeral, and then the next day, it seems like everyone goes back to their business. They go back to their lives as, quote, normal. And we are the ones who are left facing what I guess we could call a new normal. We continue to mourn and grieve and attempt to adapt to a new life without that special someone. And yet grief is meant to be shared. We find strength when we grieve with one another, and that is part of why we are here today. We are here today not just for ourselves, but for and with one another. Those of you who have gathered here today to remember and to honor that someone special in your life, we grieve with you, and we surround you with our faith, and we celebrate God's presence among us today together. Grief is meant to be shared. Death and loss touch all of us at some point in our lives, and we find strength and we find comfort together. Well, that's the first reality. The second reality is one that is even stronger than loss and death itself, and that is the reality of love, but not just any love, but God's love. I'm only aware of two places in the Bible where it specifically tells us that God is blank. Not that God is like something or God is similar to something, but that God is blank. One place says God is spirit, and in 1 John chapter 4, John writes, God is love, that God is love itself. And the gospel reminds us that God's love and that God as love always wins. In the end, God's love always wins. Your love for your loved one is stronger than death itself. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest is love. Love is the one thing that we will take with us into the next life. It's the one thing that we experience in this life and we will experience in the life to come. God's love is why Christ wept at Lazarus's tomb. But it's also that same love that called Lazarus out of the tomb. With God and through God's love and the power of Christ, death does not have the last word. God has the last word. Death is not the final chapter of our lives, but God begins writing a new chapter for us. And God's love is also the bridge between us and the communion of the saints, that mystical communion we celebrate today, that union where the veil between us and those who've gone before us, that great cloud of witnesses which surrounds us, that veil is so thin today. We stand on that threshold between the two dimensions, the one here and the one with God and the saints. It's so hard to fathom that God who is present with us at this moment is also the God who is present with our loved ones. Yet, in a way that we can only imagine today, God is with them face to face. But this love doesn't just stop there, though. It's not just now and in the present. But this love promises us more today. We see this expressed particularly well with Jesus and his disciples in John 14. In that chapter, Jesus is preparing the disciples for his eventual departure, and he's trying to prepare them. And so he tells them a couple of things to let them know what the bigger picture is, you might say. One, he tells the disciples, I am going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. Not only that, but I will come again and I will take you to myself. And what Jesus is promising his disciples is that there will be a reunion between him and his disciples, that he will come back and bring them to himself, and they will celebrate a glorious reunion. And God, who is love, is what makes that a reality. Yes, the sting of death is the separation. That's the pain which we are feeling today, that separation from the one we love so dearly, that absence, that is the pain that is real. And life in this world is never the same again. But what our scripture lesson reminds us today is that this separation is only temporary. It is not permanent. We will be reunited with our loved ones, and one day we will stand with them in God's presence, just as they stand now in God's presence. You know, there's so many things that we suffer from in this world. Disease and disability, famine, hunger, war, prejudice, violence, and the list goes on and on. But Revelation 21 reminds us that one day all this will come to an end. And one day all things will be made new. And we will all be together. I was 14 years old when my grandmother passed away. She was the one I was closest to. During my young days, during the summers, I would go and spend time with her during the summer. And by the time I got to know her, I was old enough to really know her, she had already converted to Roman Catholicism, and she would take me to church with her and to the Mass, and I thought that was so much cooler than whatever went on in my church. But I'd wake up early some mornings and just kind of peep out of my bedroom door, and I would watch her pray her rosary and wonder what that was all about. She gave me my first Bible. She had such a tremendous influence on me in the faith. And then one day, she was gone. She died so abruptly, unexpectedly, and I never had a chance to say goodbye. That was 40 years ago. But the thing is, I still dream about her. 40 years later, I still have dreams about my grandmother. And in those dreams, I sit down and we have a conversation, and I ask her the questions that I want to ask her. And the thing about those dreams are that they're so real. Now, you wake up and you, it just felt as real as us sitting or standing here this morning. Have any of you had dreams like that about someone who is now gone, and you have dreams about them, and it just seems so real? It's just like you're really back together again. The good news that we celebrate today is that one day, they shall be real. Amen. At this time, we will move into our remembrance and thanksgiving for those called to be saints. I will read each name, and as I do, a family member or a friend or perhaps an usher will be invited to come forward and place a white rose on the altar rail, and an acolyte will light a candle in remembrance and thanksgiving. In solidarity with our families gathered here today, I do invite all of us, if you would please, as you're able, to stand at this time, if you would please. Let us all stand together as these names are read, as we honor and remember the saints at this time. Denny Jones. Sam Hanna. Charlie Teague. Teresa Watson Key. Geneva Acock. Greer Dan Jenkins. Jan Francis. Flo Lyles. Ann Leonard. Gail Wade. Janice Moore. Amen.
Amen.
And once again, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and the power of God's Holy Spirit bless each of you today and every single day. Amen.